Welcome back to Hoofbeats with Lori. We're rekindling America's love affair with the horse. I'm Lori Richliano, your host, along with my co-host and husband, Victor Richliano. If you enjoy all things equine, you know this is the place to be every Saturday.
So what do you think so far?
This is kind of creepy.
It is.
I mean, with the you don't expect something like this to happen.
No. And this
is like, horses. How can they do this?
This is part two of when horse theft is not a crime. And all of a sudden, your dear beloved horses are gone.
Yeah.
And someone else has taken them or sold them.
And no one's listening to you.
And everybody's telling you it is a civil matter.
It's not a civil matter. You sold my horses.
Yeah,
they're
well,
gone.
It's not that cut and dry.
Yeah.
So now we told you the story of the lady from North Carolina. And now we're going to tell you some things that you need to do to be prepared for this. And also what to do if it ever happens to you.
And some resources to look up. One of the main resources that they have, and this is who has really become very, very much an advocate of protecting people who own horses like that, is it's called Stolen Horse International. It's a group. It's a nonprofit group that offers resources to help people find and recover horses that have been stolen or lost or missing. I've also seen them on their Facebook page talk about people who have, you know, lost trailers, stolen trailers. It's actually netposse.com. So you might be more familiar with that. It's netposse.com, netposse.com. And they do have a Facebook page as well as a website. And what this group is they're advocates for people who have just like this has happened. And so they give you ideas of what you can do to prepare and to prevent things like this from happening in the future.
Right. Now, let's say it does happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, your beloved friends are gone.
Yeah.
The first thing that you need to do is call the police.
Yes.
And the reason you're doing that is the call will trigger a police report. So it shows the exact date and time that you called the police. Don't procrastinate. Even if you know who did it, even if you know for sure who took the horses, who sold the horses, or whatever happened, don't spend days, weeks, months discussing that and arguing that with them. Call the police right away. That establishes a written documentation that you believe that property was stolen from you on this date.
And think of it, and you have to think of it as property.
Right, that you got to try and keep the emotions out of it. If the police show up, and they talk to you, and remember, the officer that's working that beat car, that's working that patrol car, deputy sheriff that's working that car, police officer, whatever they are, when they show up, that is the first line. Now, if that person looks at it, here's what you have to say, and looks at you and says, it's not our problem, it's your problem, it's a civil matter. The first thing you want to do is press for a higher authority. Ask to talk to a supervisor. There's always a supervisor on duty. It's called a watch commander in some areas. It could be officer of the day in others. The desk sergeant, the lieutenant, whoever's in charge of that shift. Ask to
be
talk
respectful.
To them.
Be respectful.
Don't accuse the other officer of not doing their job or anything else. Explain your case to them. If that person turns around and gives you the same thing and says it's a civil matter, remember, persistence can pay off. Ask for the name of the chief of police, the sheriff, whoever is the highest authority at that department. They will talk to you. Call them on the phone. Be polite. That's the big thing. This is not the time to go in there bucking and kicking and cussing and cursing and yelling.
No.
Be polite. Ask them for help. You know, don't snort, buck, curse, and do all that other stuff. That's because we know you're upset. Your right. babies are gone.
So what can you do? That's the thing, is what we're looking at this point.
The other part, too, is when you're talking to these person, be truthful. Be cooperative with your investigator. Don't embellish. Don't provide false or misleading information in an attempt to get a result faster. It's only going to hurt you in the end. Be truthful. State just the facts to them. It's kind of like that old police television show Dragnet, where the guy sits there and says, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. That's all they want are the facts. They don't need you to embellish. Now, if you get to the point to where you have to go to court now to prove that these are your horses, what you need to do is you need to be prepared for that in advance. And some of the things that you can do for that are...
Well, this was what really was really good. Take pictures of your horses before you leave them. You need to make sure that you take pictures of your horses. Pull hair. That's DNA. If you've got a bill of sale, that's what you need. Like when you purchase the horses, that bill of sale is going to be very important.
The one thing that a lot of us don't understand, we have several registered horses, whether they're Arabians, Appaloosas, quarter horses, and we have registration papers
that have our name on it.
And we think that that proves ownership.
And it does not.
It does not. The only document that truly proves you are the owner of the horse is a bill of sale. So make sure that you have a bill of sale. Even if you're buying a horse from a friend.
Or getting a horse free.
First of all, there's no such thing as a free horse.
Nope.
They all cost something. But if somebody offers to give you a horse and you're not a nonprofit like Hoofbeats for Healing where you have the donation paper and all the other stuff that goes with it, write up a bill of sale and give them a dollar.
Yes.
Because if they just give it to you at any point, they can come back and say, oh, I want my horse back.
And
because you don't have ownership
can.
Because you haven't purchased it. Purchase it from them for a dollar.
And that's again, going back to our proof of ownership.
Right. And that's the only thing that proves ownership. Now, if you have all this documentation, one of the things that you can do is, well, one, you want to make sure that your horse is easily identifiable. We have a horse, Prada. And she's easily identifiable because of certain markings. She's a pinto.
Mm-hmm.
And she happens to have the shape of a horse head on the right side of her neck.
Yes.
And that's an unusual marking. So those are things that you want to take pictures of and document that you have. Remember that people used to brand their horses. I'm not a big supporter of that.
But freeze branding I like.
Freeze branding, tattooing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's being done right now is microchipping.
Microchipping is the best.
You know,
it's
have
awesome.
Your horses microchipped. Now, once you have all this stuff done, you can create something called a poor man's copyright.
This was interesting to see.
And when I read this, I've heard about doing this in other things, but I never thought about it with the horse.
And it's a great way to do this.
The first thing that you want to do is take your horse with yourself. Take it out in front of your mailbox with the address of your home, mm-hmm. clearly visible, the numbers, the street name, everything on that. Stand in front of there and hold up a newspaper from that day and have somebody take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Take that picture and put it in an envelope. Now, that picture shows possession.
I know this seems like it's a lot to do, but it's really not, because what you're doing here is you're showing possession on a certain day.
Correct. You're showing that you possess that horse on your property on this day.
And the reason why we're doing it like this is because of the amount of manipulation that we can now do on the internet or with Photoshop
with
or et cetera.
Photos and all the other stuff like that. You're going to put that in an envelope along with pull hair strands. That's going to give you DNA. Pull those, put those in an envelope, put that in a bigger envelope. Photographs of you and your horse in front of your property, copies of your bill of sale, copies of the registration papers.
Bills that maybe you've paid.
Seal that envelope up and mail it to yourself. It's going to have a federal postmark on it from the post office. Do not open that envelope when you get it. Take it and put it in a safe place.
Like a safe deposit
it
box.
It establishes ownership of that horse on that date at that time.
So this is also something to think about doing if you bred that horse. You don't have a bill of sale. What can you do? This is what you can do.
That's called a poor man's copyright. Now, make sure you get all of your contracts in writing, just like Lori said. And make sure that you are prepared.
And have that contract signed by the person that you are boarding that horse with.
Correct. Now, before we end this segment, because we're coming to the end of it, I do want to tell everybody, because everybody's probably wondering what happened to Miss Black's horse. In the long run, she did end up getting her horses back. She had to sue the people who purchased the horses.
Who were innocent. They did not know.
They just purchased the horses. She had to sue them for their horses. She did get the courts to return her horses. But the lady that originally sold the horses walked away scot-free.
And walked away with money in her pocket. And the people who innocently bought the horses lost the money that they gave that other lady.
So the moral of the story is get it in writing. Make sure that you're prepared. Have lots of photos. Get a poor man's copyright. And hopefully this never happens to you. Well, with that, Lori, we're going to take one final break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Birchwood Psychological Center offers holistic, personal, and innovative counseling. Birchwood Psychological Center is here to help you face challenging situations or to help you move your life in a new direction. Birchwood also offers animal-assisted therapy, which has proven to be a highly successful approach to youth counseling. Call Birchwood Psychological Center today at 643-9330, located at 115 5th Street North in Breckenridge, Minnesota. Birchwood Psychological Center, 643-9330.